are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Mari, good morning and welcome back to the Mid-Morning Empowerment.
Good morning. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing very well. Pastor, how are you doing today?
No, we are fine. We are fine.
Happy to hear that. Let's get straight into it. We started this on Tuesday. We're speaking of the Great Controversy, Chapter 8, speaking about Luther before the diet. And of course, you gave us a little bit of a recap. And we know that this chapter, it's a pivotal section that paints a vivid picture of the early church's trials, their faithfulness, and the growing tensions between truth and compromise, right? And this chapter reminds us that the battle between good and evil is not just history, like we said, but it is a present-day reality shaping our world, even to this very day. So, Pastor, if you could just maybe give us a quick recap, maybe someone missed our conversation on Tuesday, of what this chapter covers before we get into our conversation and we conclude for today.
Oh, thank you very much, and warm greetings to our listeners.
Amen.
Chapter 8, we were looking at Luther before the diet, and it is giving us the narrative where Luther was summoned to appear before the diet at Worms. Mm. From where he was coming from, it actually took him about 2 weeks to travel that journey. And he was very anxious to meet the emperor, to meet the council. He was not well at that time, but he was very eager to go and stand to defend the truth. He says in his own words that if I cannot go in good health, I will be carried there sick as I am. Mm. For if the emperor calls, I cannot doubt it is the call of God himself. Mm. If they choose to be violent against me, he who defended the boys in fire in Babylon is still alive.
Sure.
He who defended the three boys is still alive. So he was anxious to go and meet the council as it were, though frightening as it was.
Yeah.
But the reformer was ready to defend the truth. Mm. So when he went there, we looked on that one last Tuesday, that he was asked to answer to the charges that were raised against his writings. And he said, my writings are in threefold. First, I was referring to issues of faith, mm-hmm. where it is general application, as it were. And the second, I was referring to issues that I perceive to be errors that are being done by the church. Mm. And lastly, I was referring to some people whom I see are not well positioned as far as the truth is concerned. So he was asked to recant. And he said, no, I will not recant. And before he went there, actually, on his way to the council, he made a statement that, to me, showed he was not actually pursuing his own interest per se. Mm. For he says, it is not for me to decide whether my life or my death will contribute most to the salvation of all. I am going there, even if they decide to be violent against me. And as you went there, you notice on chapter 8 that the best prosecutor was chosen to accuse him. And let me say, my friend, this world, the best opposers to our faith are always chosen.
Yep.
If you are not careful, if you are not careful, we will fall. Yeah, when we are tested. Mm. And Luther managed to stand. The best prosecutor was chosen. And as he was submitting his side, at some point he actually said, in this man, I see every evidence to kill all 100 or more heretics that follow this man. Mm. He was very eloquent, gifted man, if I may say.
Yeah.
He was chosen to stand against Luther. And his writings were actually heaped there. The question was, are these writings originating from you? Are you the owner? Do you own these writings?
Yeah.
And also, we are summoning you to recant, to make a public apology and say, I was wrong in preaching what I was preaching. But Luther was not moved. He was a guy who was determined to stand for truth. He requested for some time, as we alluded to last Tuesday, he requested for some time to say, give me time. The first part of the question, I will quickly answer. I'm the owner of these writings.
Mm-hmm.
But the second part, it refers to my faith. Give me some time so that I will bring myself together and actually answer you in a way that will not jeopardize the truth.
Mm-hmm.
He actually said, peradventure, in my attempt to answer you, I betray the master who died for me on the cross. Give me time so that I look into the answer and to be able to submit it in a way that will leave me safe with my master, as it were. So the following day he came back, and then he was asked again, do you recant from your statements, your convictions, your beliefs, your writings? That's when he said, no, I cannot. To do that will give way to heresy. To do that will give way to violence that is being done against the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I stand with my writings. I stand with what I was preaching. For if my master died for me, I cannot live to betray him now.
Mm-hmm.
And then the council then saw there was danger to quickly actually condemn him. He was given another time, as we said, and the following day he came, and then he was asked again, will you or will you not retract from your statements, from your writings, from your convictions? And then the reformer said, since your most serene majesty and your high mightiness require from me a clear, simple, and a precise answer, I'll give you one. And it is this: I cannot submit my faith either to the Pope or to the councils, because it is clear as the day that they frequently aid and contradicted each other. Unless, therefore, I am convinced by the testimony of Scripture or by the clearest reasoning, unless I am persuaded by means of the passages I have quoted, and unless they thus render my conscience bound by the word of God, I cannot and I will not retract. But it is unsafe for a Christian to speak against his conscience. Here I stand, I can do no other. May God help me. Amen.
Sure.
And as he was standing there, his face was shining.
Mm.
No, I like people who stand with the word. No, many of us today, we stand with people.
Yeah.
Many of us, we stand with the pride of our successes. When we talk of Christianity, we talk of success, you know. Yeah, we have actually believed in Christ because he talked much about success.
Mm.
But this guy, life was just smelling before him. Life was hovering above his head.
Mm.
No, death actually was hovering above his head. But he did not choose to live to please people, but he rather chose to die and seal what he believed with his blood.
Wow.
And, you know, as he was standing there, you know, I liked what chapter 8 says. I actually call upon people to read The Great Controversy.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very good book. If you read The Great Controversy, your view to Christianity will change.
Yeah.
You then see that what we are casually doing now,
hey,
some people actually are lost their lives,
hey,
to stand for that. Sometimes, and I think we are too comfortable, if I may say, to think about our salvation. Comfort is actually too much on our side.
Mm-hmm.
If we read The Great Controversy, the moment I read it, actually it was my second book when I became an Adventist to read. I started by reading Patriarchs and Prophets, and then I read Great Controversy.
Mm-hmm.
The third one was Twelve Ages. But when I read The Great Controversy,
mm-hmm,
I said to myself, this book, it's a must read.
Mm,
all of our people must read. Adventist or not, you must read Great Controversy. Because it's something that will give you the history of the church. It actually gives you a preview of the convictions of some reformers, great people who lived before us.
Yeah.
It's quite a book to read.
Beautiful, beautiful. Pastor, there's there's a part in this chapter that got my attention, that says the Reformation did not, as many suppose, end with Luther. It is to be continued to the close of this world's history. Luther had a great work to do in reflecting to others the light which God had permitted to shine upon him, yet he did not receive all the light which was to be given to the world. From that time to this, new light has been continually shining upon the scriptures, and new truths have been constantly unfolding. That is a challenge to us, is it not?
Yeah, it is. And you remember, he was not the first as well.
Mm.
And just after him, someone came in who was inspired by him. And as we go towards the end, then say light, as you are saying, is continually shining upon this world. And we must stand to defend it.
Mm. And yeah, I think it goes back to what you were just talking about, the casualness with which we approach our faith. The attitudes that we have about our faith. I think about something as simple, and here I'm calling myself out because I have been guilty of this myself, where because of the weather, just because of the weather, I'm like, I'm not going to go to church today. It's raining or something silly like that, you know, and you think that people died to have this kind of, to have the truth, you know, revealed to the world, for people to have that illumination of the truth of the word of God. And we are so casual, Pastor, and we are so nonchalant about the way that we handle it. And we compromise so easily on big things. We compromise and we make it like so trivial. This man is here as an example of someone who said, my life is of no consequence. If God chooses that he's not going to deliver me, then my life is of no consequence. Yeah. It's fine. Like you said in the last conversation, a dead man is not afraid to die.
Yeah. If you die, then death is no longer a threat to you.
Mm,
you choose to die with Christ, and then, nothing else will actually threaten you or threaten you to stop. Yes.
That's powerful. That's powerful. Now, let's speak about the rise of corruption and power. We see that as the church gained worldly influence, speak to us about what were the spiritual consequences of that as the church gained influence in the world.
Now, as I said, Tuesday, that is the problem of turning the camera to ourselves. And when you do that as a leader, the obvious thing, you become corrupt.
Mm.
You suppress any voice that is raised to direct the minds to Christ. You know, you try to kill every voice that is raised to say Christ is the man. And if you are an ordinary person, you are standing between the leaders, you are standing between authorities and those marginalized who are standing for the truth.
Yeah.
Your greatest temptation is to follow the majority. But let me say, in these last days, we must look on Christ and him alone, and we must abide in the word and the word alone. And that word will unite missionaries and then do the mission in the last days.
Powerful. Would you say that even in this very day, do you see power and faith coexisting in the structures that we see now in the world?
Yeah. It's everywhere, as it was in the days of social utopy, as it was in the days of Luther's social utopy, as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, so shall it be in the last days. Mm. You know, nothing new is coming upon the earth. We are just repeating what happened in the past.
Sure. And then the chapter ends with a powerful reminder to hold fast to the truth. What practical steps can we take as modern-day Christians to stay grounded in a world full of shifting beliefs?
Yeah. I was actually meditating on that myself as I was reading that passage. I said, unless and until a Christian approaches the Bible individually, the faith that are submitted in the Bible, you accept those principles individually, you'll never be strong. In these tempting times, you need to see the Bible. You need to see God speaking to you as an individual, not as a group, but as an individual. Mm-hmm. When you refer, God is speaking to you, and then you then see that you are supposed to stand. The unfortunate thing is we then assume God is talking to us as a group.
Mm-hmm.
God is talking to us, as a group, and then you comfort each other in error. as you see the shining faces of your colleagues while they are doing wrong.
Hey.
But when you see God speaking to you, practically speaking to you as an individual, you then see that he is actually calling you to stand for the same truth in the world, corrupt world.
Amen. Amen. Closing words,
no. Pastor. So you must believe what God is saying.
Yeah.
Put it practically to yourself. Yeah. Stand for that. And then when God is calling, yeah, answer to that call as an individual.
Mm.
Yeah, you must view God as though he's speaking to you as an individual in a world of billions of people.
Amen. Amen. Sure, powerful words. Pastor, please close for us in prayer and pray that we can be those kinds of Christians who will approach the Bible as individuals and hear God speaking to each one of us and convicting us of the truth so that we can stand. I think the more we keep thinking that this is, you know, Christianity is a group project, then the more we keep compromising and following after the group or following a pastor or following some religious leader instead of following the truth of the word of God. So please pray for us.
Thank you so much. We need the fruit of God. Shall we pray, Father in heaven, for the time you have given us? We thank you for the examples of giants of faith, people who stood for what is right, people who refused to be shaken, even as they were surrounded by various pressures and people who were pulling them down. We pray that as we are approaching the last days as individuals, as Christians, we stand for what is right. We come to you as individuals. We read the Bible as individuals. We view it as a message that is directed to us as individuals. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayer. And thank you for keeping us alive up to this hour. We believe we have a message to stand for. Be with us and pour our spirit upon each and every one of us, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. We appreciate your time. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much, my friend.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.